in our conversations with people in the world today, our goal, of course, is to preach the gospel to every creature, to make sure that they understand what the gospel is, to make sure that they understand what obeying the gospel is. And as we do that, we obviously come to baptism. And baptism is, in many respects, at least in the religious world, a very controversial ordinance today. And so I felt this evening that it would be wise, and I wrote an article on it last week for the blog, so you can read it that also, because it covers pretty much the same material. But the gospel and baptism are intricately tied together in such a way that to remove baptism is to do grave harm to the gospel itself. And what we have to understand is that in the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we learn that Jesus had to come to this earth. Well, we could start with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, of course, behind the good news of the gospel is the terrible news that we have an eternal soul, but that eternal soul has been marred and damaged by sin, and that unless something intervenes, God is going to have to condemn us at the end of time, because the way we've lived our lives has not met his standard. As he says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so as we look at the gospel itself, and as Paul describes the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So Paul has already preached the gospel in Corinth, and now he's reminding them because their teachings about the resurrection have put them at odds with the gospel that Paul preached. So he reminds them that the gospel I preached to you, that you received and in which you stand and by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached. So this is the gospel I'm interested in. This is the gospel that you should be interested in. This is the gospel we should all be preaching. Now, Paul told the Galatians, I'm amazed that you're moving to a different gospel, a gospel that cannot save. So there are conflicting gospels in the world, and it appears from what the Corinthians were about to do that they too were about to move to a different gospel. So what is the gospel that Paul preached? I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, notice that first point very, very carefully. Christ died for our sins. Because he died for our sins, we can receive salvation now if we are willing to listen to him. But the point that is being made here, and again, this is the bad news, is that we have sin. This is something the world denies today. This is something the religious world doesn't want to think about today. But part of the gospel plan of salvation is the preaching that certain behavior will bring the wrath of God, that certain behavior is wrong, that it is evil, that it is wicked, that God has declared and proclaimed that those who practice any of those things are worthy of death. And so when we look at the gospel, we have to understand that the gospel is the revelation of God to man. It is not from man. Paul says, I wasn't taught it. I got it by revelation from God. And so when we're talking about the gospel, we are talking about the message that God, not only did God send his Son into the world to die for our sins, but he also sent his Son into the world to reveal his will to all men. And his resurrection, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 17, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And he has given assurance to all men that this is necessary because he raised Jesus from the dead. So Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. If I don't believe that, I can't obey the gospel. If I don't accept the fact that I'm a sinner and that Jesus had to die so that my sins could be forgiven, and that God set up a plan that would get those sins forgiven, then I have no concept of what the gospel is at all. I delivered to you what I received, is what Paul is saying. I didn't make this up. And we can't either. We have to preach what is in the Scriptures. And so Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you boil the gospel down, the 27 books of the New Testament, you just boil them down and boil them down and boil them down until you come to the very essence of what the gospel is. Paul tells us right here. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. And so if we look at the gospel, this is basically the gospel. Christ died on the cross. Now, we took the time this morning to think about his sacrifice, his cries of anguish in the garden, realizing what he was about to endure, the mistreatment that he had at the hands of the Jews, the mistreatment that he had at the hands of Pilate, then it with Herod, then back to Pilate, then the complete rejection by the entire Jewish nation when they all cried out, "Let him be crucified." Then the scourging where they beat his back open with whips that have little rocks tied on the ends of them to break the skin. Then they nail his hands and his feet, and they put him into the cross or on the cross, and they leave him there to die. Christ died for our sins. Isaiah 53, he died because God had to lay on him the iniquity of us all. He became the scapegoat. He became the one who suffered and died so that I could be saved. And then God had him, then he was buried. And on the third day, God performed a very powerful act. He raised him from the dead. He brought him back to life. He brought him back to this world to spend 40 days with his disciples. And then he raised to the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is now, watching. Watching how we will respond to his act of kindness. Watching how we will respond to his act of love and devotion. Will we accept the gospel? Will we accept that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures? Will we accept that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead, and that he is now hoping and wanting us to all obey the gospel so that he can forgive our sins? The blood that he shed on the cross can only be forgiven to those people who will believe what God did for us. That's how God has set up his plan, and that's how Paul puts it in the next verse that we want to look at, which is Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, where Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Well, what is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he raised on the third day. I'm not ashamed of that message, Paul says. It's the power of God to salvation. If we believe it, we can be saved. If we don't believe it, we're going to be lost. Why are we going to be lost? Because we have sin and Jesus died for our sin. But in order for us to have him forgive, we have to go through whatever conditions he sets forth. And here's what the condition is. I have to believe the gospel. I have to believe that Christ died for my sins and make that the philosophy of my life. Christ died for my sins. And so for the rest of my life, I'm going to be repenting of those sins and trying to get rid of those sins and trying to learn what God wants me to do. And so the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, that's not God's personal righteousness. That is the righteousness that God gives to us. And it comes from faith. So what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about is that you and I have a choice. We're not going to die in our sins without an option to be forgiven. And this gospel is to go into all the world, as Jesus said, it is to be preached to every creature. We all get this choice. And God is watching. We learn from the Old Testament that his eyelids are going to and fro, and he's assessing every man and every woman's heart. He's assessed your heart. He's assessed my heart. And he's working in our lives. He's trying to bring about our salvation. And if he can see even a glimmer of hope, he'll send someone, like the Ethiopian eunuch. He will set up a set of circumstances so that we will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. This is what God has promised to us. And this is exactly what we are preaching and we are teaching and we are trying to help other people understand. So when we look at the gospel that Paul preached, it's that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And therein, within the gospel, is revealed how God makes man righteous. So God makes man righteous by this death, this burial, and this resurrection. Now, what does that have to do with baptism? What does that have to do with our relationship to the gospel? And the answer is fascinating as we look at Paul's statement in Romans chapter 6, where he says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Wait a minute. What's the gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for my sins. I want to have a relationship to that. I want to participate in that. What's the act that I can have to do that? Paul says, "Don't you know?" In other words, this is a rhetorical question. What he's saying is, I know you know this because everyone who obeys the gospel is taught this, that baptism is the ordinance where I get to participate in the gospel. I get to participate in Christ's death, in Christ's burial, and in his resurrection. It's not unusual or it's not difficult to understand that baptism is an immersion in which we join Jesus on his cross, in his tomb, and in his resurrection. Don't you know that? He tells the Romans, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So baptism brings us into. Now, the preposition into has to do with relationships, or it has to do with location. And in this case, I think it has to do with both. Because when I walk through the door of the building, I come into from outside. I was outside, and now I'm into. Well, relationships are the same. When I first meet you, I'm outside. Because I don't know you, you don't know me. But over time, we enter more fully into each other's lives and we become a part of each other. And so now you say we have a relationship. Well, when we are baptized into Christ's death, we enter into a relationship with him. In Galatians 3:27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there's a relationship. There's also a location. There is an in Christ and an out of Christ. There is one who has a relationship with Christ and one who doesn't have a relationship with Christ. Well, where's the dividing line? Well, it seems pretty clear from Paul's statement here that the dividing line is baptism. That when we are baptized, we physically, spiritually, emotionally connect with Christ. We physically go under the water. While we're under the water, we spiritually connect to Christ's death. Whatever power is in the blood is not broken in, or does not enter into our lives until we enter into his death. Jesus died on the cross. I get to die on the cross with him through the power of baptism. So in baptism, we are baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So in verse 4, we're buried with him through baptism. Now, if we remember our chart, we see that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was crucified, and so we put a cross there. Then we have the tomb where he was placed for those 3 days. Then we have the arrows that indicate that Christ was raised from the dead by God's power, that God made him alive again. Now, in verse 4, we're buried with him. There's a fellowship here. I enter that water alone, but I don't stay in that water alone. When I'm standing there and the preacher is asking me, do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And we make our good confession. And then the individual says, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when I'm being put down into the water, Paul says, don't you know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death? You entered into his death. That's where the blood is. That's where the power is. That's where the forgiveness is. You remember Jesus saying, this is the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. So it is not until I can contact that death that I can have the remission of sins. And Paul says, God has so ordered baptism that as many of you, or as many of us, as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Well, clearly, if we were not baptized into Christ, then we were not baptized into his death. So baptism has been placed by God as the only means by which you and I can enter into that death. There's no other way to enter into his death. You can read every other verse in the Bible. You can look at faith. You can look at repentance. You can look at confession. You can look at whatever commands you want to look at. This is the only verse in the scriptures that explains exactly how we enter into fellowship in which my soul gets to join with Christ's power and the forgiveness occurs. This is why remission of sins is in baptism. So in verse 4 again, we were buried with him. So when we come in, when we are under the water, there's a fellowship with Christ. We have just imitated what he did. He died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. We now die with him. So we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, here's an interesting analogy. When I enter into the water, I'm dead in my sins. When I come up out of the water, I'm alive again. Well, what happens in between? Well, in between, I enter into his death. I'm baptized into his death. I'm buried with him. Why am I buried with him? So that just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, I can be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So while we're under that water, some amazing things are occurring. And that's what we were talking about this morning. How does the Holy Spirit bring that about? This is the washing of regeneration. This is the new birth, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I go into the water of baptism, a sinner. I come out a saint. I go into the water of baptism, dead in sin. I come up out of the water of baptism, alive in Christ. I go into the water of baptism with no relationship to God, no relationship to Jesus, no relationship to the Holy Spirit. I come up out of the water of baptism and now I'm in Christ and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me and now I am that living stone in the temple. So what happens? Well, verse 5, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, that's his description of baptism. We've been united together in the likeness of his death. Well, how's it the likeness of his death? Well, when I'm put under the water, I'm buried. When Jesus was put in the tomb, he was buried. They sealed the tomb. And when God raised him from the dead, the angel rolled that stone away, and the seal was removed, and he came up out of death. So did we. Just like he came out of the tomb, a new man, live again, we come up out of the water of baptism. We've been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him. So now I see myself, I'm nailed to the cross with him in baptism. I'm buried with him in baptism. And I'm raised with him in baptism. So every act of baptism, the burial, the putting under the water, the going down into the water, the burial, the bringing up out of the water, and the coming up out of the water, they all have spiritual significance according to Paul here. When we are walking down into the water, we are dead in sin. So we need to be buried. And we need to be buried with Christ so that we can contact his blood, so that the forgiveness can occur. But also, while we're in that water, the same event that happened to Christ happens to me. He was raised from the dead. He went down into the tomb dead. We go down into the water of baptism dead in our trespasses and in our sins. So we need to be buried with him in baptism. We need to be baptized into his death so that, as Paul says again in verse 4, just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You can't walk in newness of life without the resurrection, and you can't have the resurrection unless you are buried with him in baptism. You have to join his death, his burial and his resurrection. You have to be, verse 6, crucified with him. There's our first line. Well, matter of fact, since we've looked at this verse now, let's look at this next chart. So, Christ and the one baptized. Each individual has to go through these steps because we believe the gospel. We believe Christ died for our sins. And since baptism joins me to Christ in that death, I want to be baptized. We believe that Christ was buried, and we understand that through baptism, we are buried with him. And we understand that in that baptism is a resurrection, so we're going to be raised with him. And we also understand that in that baptism, there's a crucifixion. So as we look at these gold or yellow or whatever color that is, somebody told me once the colors that I see and the ones you see make me look colorblind, so I apologize for that. Anyway, whatever color that is, you call it whatever you want. But we are in baptism. Now, you remember the gospel. The gospel was Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he raised from the dead. Well, this is baptism. We are baptized. We are buried with him. As many of us are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. So we die with him. Then we are buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. We also are raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, and our old man is crucified with him. So we are crucified in baptism, we die in baptism, we are buried in baptism, we are joined with Christ and baptized into his death in baptism, and then finally, we are raised in baptism, or with baptism. Now that's what Paul says in Romans. So let's look at the verse again, because I want to make sure everybody can see that we're not adding anything, we're not modifying anything, we're just taking it right out of the scriptures. Do you not know? Were you not taught before you were baptized that every single one of us who was baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? If you were not baptized, you did not do any of this. If you were not baptized, you have no relationship with Jesus. You haven't died with him. You haven't been baptized into his death. You haven't been buried with him. You haven't been raised with him. And you haven't been crucified with him. All of that is tied to baptism. Now, that's not my thinking. That's God's thinking. And that's Paul's thinking. As I say, for Paul to ask this rhetorical question, don't you know? What if they say no? I don't know that. Well, then Paul would say, you haven't obeyed the gospel. You have not obeyed the gospel that I preach. You have not obeyed. Paul had never been to Rome, but he knew all the Romans had done this because he knew what the gospel was. Because he'd obeyed the gospel. Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And now he was preaching that gospel. So verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism. If we were baptized with a burial, we were buried with him. If we were not baptized, or we not baptized with a burial, we were not buried with him. There's just no way. You cannot be buried with him through baptism into death unless you are buried with him in the water of baptism. And when you are under the water of baptism, just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also will walk in a new life. We are a different creation. We are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. God did something. While I was in the water, God regenerated me. He recreated me. I was born again. I was born of water and the Spirit. I was cleansed by the washing of water and the renewing of the Word. I was cleansed by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I was begotten again through the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Verse 5, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. That's how Paul classifies baptism. Baptism is the likeness of Jesus' death. That's why God created it. That's why he gave it to us. That's why it's a burial in water, because it imitates Christ's burial. And it imitates Christ's burial to the degree that, in verse 6, first our old man is crucified with him, then we are buried with him, and then we are raised with him, and it all happens in baptism. And if we're not baptized, it'd be like Naaman. If Naaman hadn't dipped 7 times in the Jordan River, he wouldn't have been cleansed of his leprosy. So when he went to the Jordan River and he dipped 6 times, he was still a leper. But when he went down the 7th time, he came up And his skin was like that of a newborn baby. Why? Because God performed an act of power on him the seventh time. Now, the same thing is true of us. We can believe the gospel. We can repent of our sins. We can confess that Christ is Lord. But if we do not do what Naaman did, if we do not dip ourselves in the water with Christ, buried with him into death, we weren't crucified with him, we weren't buried with him, we weren't raised with him. It's just not possible. And so it's very important, again, so we look at that verse that we were looking at earlier, and we have clearly baptism and the gospel are one and the same. Baptism is an illustration of the gospel. Baptism is a clear, it's me getting to follow Jesus. I get to follow him to the cross and be crucified with him. I get to be followed him to the tomb and be buried with him. And I get to be raised from the dead just like he was, all in that short period of time from the moment I go under the water till the moment I come up out of the water. Now, that wasn't clear enough, so God said it again. So let's go over, well, actually, I got this other chart here. So this is the gospel Paul preached. Gospel he preached, Christ died for our sins. The baptism he preached, you've got to be crucified with him. The gospel Paul preached, Christ was buried. The baptism Paul preached, you have to be buried with him. The gospel Paul preached, he was raised from the dead. The baptism Paul preached, we're raised with him. Crucified with him, buried with him, raised with him. That's what baptism is. Therein is revealed how God makes man righteous. He makes man righteous first by what Christ did, then by what I did. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. I die for my sins. I'm buried and I'm raised from the dead in baptism. And that's how this is explained. Now in Colossians, he says the same thing, only slightly differently. He starts out with circumcision. We talked a little bit about circumcision in our Romans class this morning. Circumcision was given to Abraham as a token and as a sign that he was righteous. It was given to him as a covenant that would show his relationship with God. Well, we've been circumcised. In him, in Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. So when I'm buried with him in baptism, now I have a new figure that I have to plug in. And I'm not going to spend much time on this. I want to spend a whole lesson on this in a couple of weeks. But he says in verse 11 that when I am baptized, when I'm buried with him in baptism, this crucifixion is also a circumcision. Something is cut away. Something is taken away when I am in the water of baptism and I leave it behind. So, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism. Now, remember the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. You remember baptism? We are crucified with him. We are buried with him. We are raised with him. Let's see how Paul puts that together in Colossians. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. So I go down into the water, dead in sin. I go down into the water because I'm dead. I'm buried with him. While I'm under the water and I'm dead with him under the water, God does the same thing for me he did to Jesus. And that's what Paul says in verse 12 and 13. You being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So now what happens in the water of baptism? Well, I'm crucified with him. Now I'm circumcised with a circumcision without hands, the circumcision of Christ. So that's why I said this morning, the Holy Spirit's involved in my baptism. Jesus is involved in my baptism. Who's doing this crucifixion? Who's doing this circumcision? By the circumcision of Christ. Christ is. This is not done with hands. It's done without hands. Well, somebody has to do it. Well, who does it? It's Christ's circumcision. I have the circumcision of Christ. So Christ is actively involved in my baptism. I'm circumcised through him. And then, having been buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him, Now, here's an interesting point. Through faith in the working of God. Well, what exactly does that mean, through faith in the working of God? Well, I'm committed. I'm convicted. Jesus was raised from the dead. I believe with all my heart that he died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that God raised him from the dead. And that act of power that I believe God did for him, I also believe he did for me. Because through faith in the working of God. Now, you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 4? He said that Abraham's faith was imputed to him for righteousness. And then he said, it's not imputed to him alone, but also to us who believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead is the most fundamental aspect of my salvation. I have to believe that. I have to believe that Christ died for my sins. You know, people like Christmas. But Christmas is not the gospel. It's wonderful that Christ was born. He had to be born. When he came into the world, he had to be born so that he could do God's will. But the gospel is he died for our sins. And people like the Easter, they love to think about the resurrection. The resurrection is such a wonderful thing. Well, wait a minute, that's not the gospel. What's the gospel? Christ died for our sins. You know, it's interesting, the denominational world does not celebrate Christ dying for our sins. They celebrate his birth. They celebrate his resurrection. But they don't celebrate the Lord's Supper. They do not practice the Lord's Supper. They do not consider the Lord's Supper. Why? I don't know why. It's the most important aspect of it. Christ died for our sins. And through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So verse 13, you, now this is me before I go into the water, dead in trespasses, dead in the uncircumcision of my flesh. I don't have a token. I don't have a covenant relationship with God. I have no relationship with God. The blood of Christ is here, and I'm here, and there's a chasm so big that I can't bridge it. And faith won't get me there. Repentance won't get me there. And confession won't get me there. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, this is God the Father, he has made alive together with him. So the same exact process that Jesus went through. His heart wasn't beating. He was dead. His soul was in Hades. And God brought the soul back from Hades, started the heart beating again, and brought him up out of the tomb as a living person again. I believe that with all my heart. That's the gospel. That's what Paul said, I preach. Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. Because I believe that, I believe in the power of baptism. So looking at verse 12 again, having been buried with him in baptism, and before I'm buried with him in baptism, verse 13, I'm dead in my trespasses. I'm dead in the uncircumcision of my flesh. In baptism, verse 11, I'm circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the flesh through the circumcision of Christ. So Christ is cutting off the body of sins. God is raising me from the dead. And the Holy Spirit is, that's the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So they're all actively involved in this action. And that's why it amazes me that Satan has won such a complete victory by getting most churches today not to teach this. They don't even see this. They don't even talk about this. They don't even see it as being important. And so Paul's rhetorical question, don't you know that when you were baptized, when you were buried with him in baptism, you were buried into his death? Well, no, I don't know that. I was never buried with him. I was sprinkled. Or I just accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know anything about this baptism. Paul, what are you talking about? That's not the gospel that I heard. That's not the gospel I obeyed. What you're telling me in Romans chapter 6 is not what I've done. And that's what I would say 90% of people in denominations today will say on the judgment day. I never did that. I don't know what they think when they read Romans 6. I just can't understand what they think when they read this verse. It's very clear. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which, while I'm under the water, while I'm buried with him in baptism, you also were raised with him. So I'm buried with him. I'm raised with him in the water of baptism. Verse 13, I was dead in my trespasses and the uncircumcision of my flesh. God made me alive together with him, and God forgave all of my trespasses. That's an action that God did when I entered into the water. Before I was raised up out of the water, I went down into the water, dead in trespasses. While I'm under the water, I'm crucified with him, I'm circumcised with him, I am buried with him, I am raised with him, my sins are washed away, and my sins are forgiven, and the uncircumcision of my flesh and my dead in trespasses is left behind after baptism. Not before, but after I'm baptized. So we look at that one. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. And so what does Paul say? We were buried with him in baptism, in which we were also raised with him. So if we look at this chart now, we see that when we are buried with him in baptism, so I see myself under this water, and I see Jesus in this water with me because I'm buried with him. So I know it's a spiritual connection, but I don't know how else to describe it, and that's how Paul says it. He says, I was buried into his death. I was buried with him through baptism into death. That's how Paul puts it. I don't know how else to say it. When I was in the water, I was in the water with Jesus. And when I was in the water with Jesus, I died with him. Well, what does that mean, I died with him? Well, I left my sins behind. That old man was cut off. I was crucified. I was circumcised. I was placed under the water, and I was forgiven. And then, after the forgiveness, God does something to my soul. He makes me alive again. He changes me from that dead spiritual individual who has no hope into a living soul. And all of that is done while I'm under this water. And if I've never been under the water, it's never been done. That's how Paul puts it here. We were buried with him in baptism. If you were never immersed in the water of baptism, you were never buried with him. And if you were never buried with him, you could never be raised with him. And if you were never raised with him, then being dead in your trespasses, he could never make you alive together with him or forgive you of your sins. That's why we preach that baptism is necessary for the remission of sins. That's why Peter preached it. That's why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Why? Because Jesus understood that God created baptism so that we could have a way, like Naaman did, to get the cleansing that we needed. Naaman needed the Jordan River for God to perform a miracle on his skin and on his body and remove that leprosy. And we need baptism so that we can be buried with him, so that we can be raised with him, so that even though we were dead in trespasses, that's me here needing to be crucified with him, but only through baptism can I be crucified with him and buried with him. And then, being dead in my trespasses, he makes us alive together with him, and he forgives us all of our trespasses. Now, Paul makes it about as clear as he can. Did I miss something? Did I throw something in here? Is there something here I'm saying that you can't see? That's what God said? I mean, look at that. We were buried with him in baptism. Which means in the midst of that burial and baptism, we were raised with him. And being dead in our trespasses as we enter into the water, he makes us alive together with him. And then when we come up out of the water, we've been forgiven. I think God made it pretty clear. I don't know why there's a controversy. I don't know why we are accused of believing in water salvation. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and in baptism I die with him. Christ was buried, and when I'm baptized, I'm buried with him. Christ was raised from the dead. When I'm baptized, I'm raised from the dead with him. How could he make it any clearer? So Christ and the one baptized... If you were baptized, this is what happened. If you were not baptized, this didn't happen. If you can't answer Paul's question, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, and that we were buried therefore with him through baptism? If you don't know that, you never obeyed the gospel. You have not heard the gospel Paul preached. It's the gospel we preach. But it's not the gospel you're going to hear in very many other places. And again, I think that's Satan's plan. I think that that's what the devil has been able to accomplish. So the gospel Paul preached is the first line. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he was raised from the dead. The baptism that Paul preached, you put off the sins of the flesh, you're buried with him, and you're raised with him only if you enter into the water of baptism to be immersed. If you haven't done that, if you didn't understand that, then you have to really give yourself a serious question or a serious talking to. Can I answer? If on the judgment day God says, don't you know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death, and therefore you were buried with him in baptism? You say, I didn't know that. I didn't do that. Can you see why Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-21, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them, I never knew you. Well, why didn't he know them? He doesn't say, I forgot you. He doesn't say we had a relationship, but you went off into error. He says, I never knew you. Because if we didn't do this, we don't have a relationship with Jesus. We didn't join him on his cross. We weren't crucified with him. He didn't circumcise us. We weren't buried with him in the water of baptism. We did not have our sins cleansed in the water of baptism, and we were not raised up with him. How can he know us? Believing the gospel is just not enough. We have to do what God said. And I don't think God could have made it much clearer than that. And therein is revealed how God makes man righteous. Baptism is how God makes man righteous. It couldn't be any clearer. Baptism is as powerful, we'll see next week, baptism is as powerful as Noah's Ark. Peter says, after a true likeness, baptism now saves you, just like Noah's Ark saved them. Baptism is like going through the Red Sea with Moses. They were baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea, and we're baptized into Christ. Baptism is the new birth. And God and baptism is the circumcision of Christ. Therein is revealed how God makes man righteous. It is so sad to see people in the denominations who reject this or won't teach this or haven't been taught this. And when we teach it to them, they say, oh, you believe in water salvation. No, I don't believe in water salvation. I believe that I've got to be in this water to die with him, to put off the sins of the flesh, to be crucified with him, to be circumcised by him, to be buried with him, to be raised with him, and to have the forgiveness of sins. That's not water salvation. That's obedience to God. That's just doing what God said. That's just doing what Paul revealed here. And we just can't make any clearer than this. Now, I had a few other slides that I'm not going to look at. This is one of them. Well, I say I'm not going to look at it. We're not going to talk about it. But here's a question for all. Do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you not know that? If you don't know that, there's a serious problem with the gospel you obey. There's a serious problem with it. You have not obeyed the gospel Paul preached. Because the same Paul who preached in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel I preached, is the same Paul who's asking us here, don't you understand the relationship of baptism to the gospel? Don't you understand that if you were not baptized into Christ, you were not baptized into his death, and you have no contact with his death? Don't you understand that we were buried with him through baptism, and that without baptism you can't be buried with him? So the problem is not that the scriptures don't teach it. The problem is people don't believe it. And many won't teach this. They just won't teach it. They won't even talk about it. They just ignore it. They ignore what Jesus said in Matthew 28 about being baptized to become a disciple. They ignore what Peter said about repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins. But we're going to have to answer this question. Better to answer it now and do it so that when God asks us on the judgment day, we can say, yes, I knew that and I did it. because if we don't, then we're going to find that our relationship to God is going to be removed. So as we now pick up the Song of Encouragement, did you join Christ on his cross? Did you join him in his tomb? Did you join him in his resurrection? Have you been baptized into Christ, into his death? Have you had the forgiveness of sins? Have you been made alive? Well, as we sing the song of invitation, and thanks, Tim, for the perfect song, there's a fountain free. And that fountain is connected to baptism. And so as we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to avail themselves of the opportunity to obey the gospel, we give you that opportunity while we together stand and sing.